My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan, recapping week one with the New York Giants. 888-808-1019. Obviously, we'll get into the Jets. We'll do the Jets coming up at 11:20. We'll start to look ahead to the game tonight and obviously work in your Giant call as well, because I know you guys are going to be upset all day long here. So, BT, before we broke, I asked you the question, what's more likely from yesterday's performance from the Giants to remain the same throughout the course of the season? I mean, there's a lot there, obviously, that you hope doesn't.
Yeah.
But
what really
do you think is the most likely, or the most likely, that you can answer however you want, the most likely thing to get fixed?
Okay, I'm going to attack it that way.
Okay, yeah.
I think that there'll be weeks where the defense is wreaking havoc. I do.
Right.
You know, Dexter Lawrence, Burns, and Kayvon Thibodeau, to a lesser extent, they're going to get... They're going to make plays. Their ball's going to be on the turf. They're going to be...
Burns is a beast.
There's no doubt. It's been on tape for 5 years. Yep. He's a stud. You know, so they're going to be able to I think, punish some average offensive lines or some coordinators who really aren't buttoned up, or maybe a young quarterback like Jaden Daniels next week with the Commanders. That would be my answer. And listen, I think when you have that, then I think subsequently you have a couple of weeks where the Giants offense gets the benefits from a short field. They put a couple of points
win
up.
Win some tight games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they're
going
to
do. Not many wins, but it's not going to feel as hopeless as all. I don't think it's going to feel very hopeless quite like yesterday too often.
Okay, see,
except against the elite teams.
So I agree. And I think it's a good thing when you're talking about the defense. I even like Phillips as well. Drew Phillips is a player.
Yeah, Deontay Banks. Yeah.
I think the Giants have some players on defense. Burns is an absolute beast. Dexter Lawrence, an absolute beast. I like Deontay Banks. I like Drew Phillips. Their linebackers are solid. You know, Kayvon, I want to see more from and be more consistent.
Yep.
I'm sorry, but an elite defensive player, a top pick like that, you can't have a weakness against the run. You can't be invisible too many times. Like, it's just calling it how it is.
No, those are things we've said for a while.
Yeah. He's just got to have his impact felt every single game. You don't have to have all bad game, but for the most part, you got to be better than that. Anyway, so I agree. I think their defense, and it wasn't awful yesterday, but it wasn't where it needs to be for this team to win some games. But isn't that then telling and alarming about the offense with an offensive head coach and playmakers? We all said the same thing, like, okay, yeah, they lose Saquon Barkley, but Singletary will be able to run the football. They shouldn't lose much there, but Neighbors going to be absolutely impossible to stop. You have Jalen Hyatt, Wandell Robinson. They can't move the ball.
Well,
and we believe that both of us are in agreement that that's more likely to be the case as opposed to, say, the defense that looks like it could get fixed.
Yeah, that's what I would lean to and toward. Listen, Singletary is a Band-Aid for this year, and I know
he's
Saquon.
Fine.
Yeah, he is fine. Saquon looked amazing, but I still think it was the right decision long-term by the Giants to move on from him, as painful as it was emotionally. Singletary's going to bust a few long. He's dynamic, so he's not going to have crazy great numbers at the end of the year, but if he stays healthy, he'll put a few in the end zone. He'll gash a few defenses here. And Malik Nabers is going to be a star. I mean, we're sitting here. I know Malik Nabers wasn't amazing yesterday, but we're sitting here like he had one reception for 7 yards.
Right.
And he had six catches for 60-something yards. And I know he dropped the early screen pass, a little jitters, rookie. I get it. If he catches that, he's got 7 for 70. We're saying the guy didn't even play well. So if we're saying that you didn't do anything and you had six catches for almost 70, that's a good sign.
Yeah,
Nabers is going to be phenomenal.
It's not about Nabers. It's about their inability to take advantage what Nabers can bring. That's my issue. I'm not saying I don't care. He's allowed to drop a ball. I mean, I guess a rookie, it's his first game. If you have six catches in the NFL, it should be for 100 yards minimum. Six for 68. What are we doing here? Check down Neighbors? So my issue is not Neighbors himself.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe he's got the talent. I mean, you see it, and who knows? We'll see how it plays out, how much of a study is going to be. My issue has always been with them, and all we heard with the Giants not being able to take advantage of it. Oh, Daniel Jones healthy and the offensive line's better. Well, then how come he scores 6 points? How come he can't get any touchdowns? How come he can't move the football down the field?
Five sacks.
Jalen Hyatt, we heard about it last year. Yeah, well, Daniel Jones, I mean, the answer, we know what the answer is. The answer is Daniel Jones isn't good enough. He doesn't make the right decisions, holds on to the ball way too long. When he does throw it, it's inaccurate.
We got one answer yesterday. They're not trying to protect him. I mean, they put him out where he tucked it and ran, and not just because he had to. There were a few designed runs, like, really early. So they're gonna run him into the ground. And you know, I don't mean to sound callous or irresponsible, but this is football. They're like, nah, you get hurt, you get hurt. But this is really the only way we can compete. We got to make you run. We'll see if the knee's okay. And by the way, the neck.
Yeah, well.
I mean, geez.
And you know, it's a matter of time. Like, there are issues with Daniel Jones staying healthy, and then there are issues when he is healthy.
True.
It's just too many things. He did throw one nice pass to, what was his name, Van Ginkle, on Minnesota, 888-808-1019. I mean, he caught it and ran right into the end zone.
That was actually a hell of a play. That was a tough ball to catch. Yeah, I mean, you got to see Van Ginkle in front of you, but that was a nice play.
And
the best play was the special team. I've never seen a special teams play like that. Dink, dink, dink. When the three guys touch it and kept it from that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was.
I know.
That was all time.
Usually throw it back to one.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but like that was
sick.
Yeah, I mean,
best play of the day.
So we're going to hold our hat on. Alex is calling from Staten Island, New York. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I've been a Daniel Jones supporter for, you know, day one. I've always used, you know, all the excuses in the book, you know, for him, from the bad offensive lines to no elite receivers. You know, he's had one offensive weapon with Saquon, and even with that, you know, he was always hurt. I was at that game yesterday, and I could honestly say I have never seen the Giants come out so flat-footed like they did yesterday. I mean, it's almost, you get the sense that they were kind of still in preseason mode, and that's how bad it was, because my wife asked me the night before, she says, hey, what are the chances you think the Giants win tomorrow? Should I get tickets? And I said, babe, honestly, of all the winnable games that we have and that there aren't many, this is one that we could absolutely win. Hmm. And it was just pathetic. And I have one question for you guys. If we do end up benching Daniel Jones, if he comes out as bad as he did yesterday, how much leeway do you give the backups? And if you do bring those guys in, is that the Giants already conceding that this year is pretty much a wash? Thanks, guys.
No. I think you're welcome, Alex. I think that it depends on. I think it's the opposite, really, of a concession. I think it's an acknowledgement of, hey, we're not taking this laying down here. If this guy's not playing well, even though this other guy's making only $5 million and who knows what DeVito's making, we're going to throw something up in the air and see if it sticks. We're going to try to win.
But it would be the end of Daniel Jones.
Oh, 100%.
Once and for all.
Oh, yeah.
We all know, and I think most of us knew how this was going to end. And there were a lot of Giant fans that wanted to believe in Jones. Hey, look, the owner himself, I don't know if the owner himself or the general manager, which is alarming, I don't know if they knew how this was going to end, but we all knew how it was going to end with Jones. It's going to be over. This is going to be it. I just wanted it to be over 3 years ago because we all knew the inevitability. Daniel Jones was not the guy. But once they make that move to go with the backup, whoever it may be, Drew Lock, I'm assuming, is going to get that opportunity. If he's not healthy or he doesn't perform, maybe they go with Tommy DeVito, who was at least an entertaining story and fun to watch from that regard a year ago. Maybe you have some excitement with that. But once they make that move, it's over for Daniel Jones. Does not mean, I'm with you, BT, it means the opposite of conceding, because it would mean that they believe that the backup gives them a better chance to win the game.
Yep. I think that was one of the most depressing Giants games ever.
It was so bad.
When you factor in the pomp and circumstance, the uniforms, the 100 years, the luminaries there, and then immediately the boos come down, and you don't score a touchdown. The quarterback, I don't say nobody, but most people don't believe him. He's getting booed, 2 picks, 5 sacks, just a porous defensive effort. The coaching was uninspiring. Now there's some
penalties.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, like, to your point, and unfortunately in New York football, we've seen far too many of those games.
Yes.
In the last 5+ years.
Much more than 5 years.
Yeah, whatever. It's where it's not even... You're not even in the game.
Yeah.
Most games, and you saw a lot of comebacks yesterday, like most games is a back and forth. There's some drama.
The Dolphins came back.
Yeah, whatever, right. The Bears
the Bills came back.
The Bills came back. There's a lot of competitive games or games that go down in the fourth quarter. With this game, I was like, oh, my God. Like at 14-6, you're thinking, it's over. They can't even. Now, you're maybe hoping that they could get back into it, waiting for them to get back into it. They couldn't do anything that would even give you hope or any kind of semblance of a competitive football game. We've seen it far too often with both these teams over the last decade.
And that's against the team that you were kind of supposed to beat.
That makes it even worse. I mean, they weren't favored, but
it was
like
a point.
You said, the odds.
Well, you basically are favored because you're pretty much getting 3 at home. So they're basically saying you're not 3 better, you're 2 better.
Well,
I know, but
in theory, if you can't beat the Minnesota Vikings at home, who can you beat?
Well, you better beat the Commanders on the road. Otherwise, it is over.
And maybe for more than just Daniel Jones if they start going that way. I don't think that's going to be the case. Tom is calling from Ronkonkoma. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Good. Okay. What's up?
Hey, yeah, I'm glad you guys are on the same page as me. You know, like you said, BT, I think that was the worst game I've ever seen the Giants play ever in my 30 years of existence.
Yeah, Tom, think about this. There's games where it's less competitive. They give up 30, 40, more points, and there's more turnovers. But when you factor in everything, the backdrop of the day, the residue, all the conversations for the last couple of years about Jones, and, oh, my God, they've had one good year the last 12 or 13 years. Yesterday was a disgrace.
It was really bad. And Sal, you know, I heard you talking about, you know, we got all these weapons, you know, neighbors, we got Hyatt. Yeah, we do. But, I mean, the problem obviously is it doesn't mean much if you can't get the ball to them. And
Bingo.
This guy can't throw. This guy couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Bingo.
He's terrible.
And then that's
why. He is so bad that I had to call up because it's frustrating. It's like, how does the owner, how does the general manager, how does the coach, nobody sees this. I mean, I know we all know that he sucks. He's terrible.
Yeah.
He's beyond good. He's beyond bad. He was average at one point.
It's over now.
He's done.
Over. He's gotten worse. He's regressed. Thank you for the call, Tom. We appreciate your passion. And there was regression last year. See, for me, with the Daniel Jones timeline, initially his first year, it's like, all right, well, he's a rookie, too many mistakes, the turnovers, the fumbles, whatever, but there's potential there. And then it was just messed up after that, the different coaches and all those different things, and I never believed in what I saw after the first year in Daniel Jones. The first year was still like, okay, maybe there's something, but after that it was no.
I was intrigued by him early.
Okay.
I was like, oh, this kid's interesting.
What year would you say that you started to give up on him?
I never really truly officially gave up on him.
Okay, so I would say I gave up on him. Let's say by year 3, it's like, all right, he doesn't have it. Then, when Daboll and Shane come in, now I didn't want him to be here before they took over. Then he wins the playoff game, right? Now, you saw him do it. So, you had to give him some credit and say, all right, well, he did this. This is not hope. Daniel Jones was the quarterback of a team that went to the postseason where nobody expected it, and they won a road playoff game. Now, obviously, I thought that it was more about Daboll getting the most out of Jones, but Jones was his quarterback. So the year after that, last year, was the year that we really needed to see him take that next step and be able to, you know, throw the football in addition to running it and cleaning it up, cleaning his game up in year two. But we saw regression. And it was at that point that I said I was a fool for even getting sucked back into Daniel Jones based on the 1 year of the playoff success. And now I think it's even further regression from what it was even a year ago.
Sal, if I said, all right, you know, quick read, one game, but also factor in what you said all summer and, and leading into the season, give me a quick top-of-mind record for the Giants this year.
Jeez. I mean, I'm going to stay. I'm going to say 7 wins.
All right. I'm going to say 5-12, right?
Okay.
Even if we split it and they're 6-11, you know, something like that. Okay. So let's just say 6-11. 6-11 this year, 6-11 last year, 9-7-1 the year before that, 4-13, 6-10, 4-12, 5-11, 3-13. It is amazing. I remember, like, when I was young, I would hear about the Giants of the 1970s and how unwatchable they were and how pathetic they were. You know, and you know, I didn't see it, but of course, you look at the records, you know, they didn't have a lot of good players, no playoffs. I mean, they were just a disaster. The 70s, it's comparable. They have been bad for a long time.
Do you think it's worse or better, or I was going to say more difficult or easier for Giant fans because they've tasted the ultimate success many times, especially recently, with you know, the two Eli runs.
Yeah, yeah.
Or would you rather, like, the Jet fan is almost accustomed to losing so much, so when you have these bad seasons year after year, it sucks, it's frustrating, but you don't know anything different. Where Giant fans, they know the difference, and now they went from being two-time Super Bowl champs with Eli Manning in recent history to being basement dwellers.
I don't know how I answer that. I think there's merit both ways. If I had to pin it down, I'd probably say it's tougher. Because they know what it takes to win.
You've tasted.
You've been there.
You've been at the top multiple times.
Yep.
And now you're at the bottom again for the better part of the decade. Brad is in Mineola. What's up, Brad?
All right, guys. So you actually brought up a great point. So my dad passed away in 2017. He brought me up as a die-hard Giants fan. Big Blue till I die. My son was born 4 months ago. He's got all his Giants stuff on yesterday.
Nice.
We took pictures and everything. Honestly, I thought it was a winnable game.
Yeah.
I thought it was a winnable game. I'm not going to beat on Daniel Jones anymore because everybody's beating on him. The fact that we had the ball on the 25-yard line on that first drive and all we got was a field goal. I will say this, the defense got in their own way, and there was a really bad call on that first touchdown.
Didn't he curse right there? Thank you for the call. I'm pretty sure he said BS, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't hear that.
I think I heard. If he didn't, I apologize, but I think that I heard that here. You said that that call was BS. It was not. Adoree Jackson's got to play the ball better. It's a horrible play by Adoree Jackson. Horrible, horrible penalty right there. But, yeah, you don't want to get on Daniel Jones. I get it. That's the low-hanging fruit. It's easy. I've just seen enough of Daniel Jones. We all know that. But this is much bigger than him. This was an offensive problem overall. You know, hard to do anything when you have a quarterback that's playing the way he is. But also defensively. They were the Giants' bread and butter defensively is going to be their pass rush. That was non-existent yesterday against Sam Darnold.
So since everybody's pissed off with the football stuff and the Giants, let me just humanize it for a moment. Because the most important thing that he said that at least resonates with me, and I think a lot of you, strapping on the gear for the four-month-old kid.
Yeah.
There are not many things in life that are more rewarding to a dad when you first become a dad than those pictures. The first, like, Colts got the Revis jersey from back in the day.
Yeah.
I look back, that bald head, the barely any teeth, the gums. Oh, my God, that is awesome. So, hey, listen, he's only 4 months, so he's got a lot of time to get it right. Take solace in that.
Yeah, and in 15 years when he grows up, or maybe less, he's going to be cursing you. What'd you do, making me a Giant fan? Hopefully by then they have it figured out, but who the hell knows?
Betcha Jones is still here in 15 years?
Going into year 14, will we finally find out what Daniel Jones is as a quarterback? the owner's going to be saying the same thing. We've really done all we could to screw this kid up. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but you know, you bring Mara into it, and I don't disagree that he was fairly heavy-handed.
He's been on the record as saying he loved Daniel Jones.
But he was also amenable to moving up, and he was going to let Shane and Dable do their thing pertaining to the trade and getting a quarterback. So he might not have loved the notion of moving on from Daniel Jones, but he was prepared effort to do it. So we got to give Maris some credit there.
Yeah, no.
He was.
Well, I mean, he's still running this team that looks like it hasn't gotten
I know, but he's right not, yet. But he's not so dug in on Jones where he was like, now maybe that's just for the cameras, but
no, I believe.
I believe that he was like, all right, guys, I'm going to let you do it. I hired you to get us fixed, then if you think this is the right move, then get us fixed.
Same thing. I do agree that he would have let them do what they needed to, which is why I also blame Shane and Dable. This is not just, well, Mara wanted Daniel Jones. He's just been here the longest, obviously, and he's been supporting Jones and believing in Jones the longest. But Shane and Dable are to blame as well.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, for going all in, well, I mean, maybe not all in, but having, I mean, it's been 3 years. Daniel Jones has been their guy.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Korn at Prudential Center on September 23rd. This is from our friends at Live Nation. To purchase tickets, visit livenation.com. All right, BT, here we are again, a year later, but the Jets getting set to kick off their season Monday Night Football in San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers is back. And I got to be honest, like Rodgers himself, I, too, a part of me expects greatness. However, the reality is he's a 40-year-old quarterback coming off a significant injury. We haven't seen him play in a year. And maybe I'm wrong for feeling that way, but I'm not looking at Rodgers as anything less than what I saw Rodgers the last time he was healthy and playing for a full season in Green Bay.
Time is moving slow with this one here, buddy.
You just can't wait to get it kicked off.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the obvious thing pertaining to tonight, but it's been the I think I speak for every Jets fan here. It's been the longest, most treacherous football year of my life. I mean, there's been a lot of empty seasons, granted, but at least the empty seasons, emotionally, you could tap out. You know, you come in, all right. You know, maybe Sam can squeeze out a wild card. Maybe Zach could take the next step. Maybe this guy could do that. Maybe Timmy Boyle could spin it. All the nonsense that we try to convince ourselves of, me in particular, it, you know, gets hijacked by the reality of, oh, wow, we suck again. Wow, what a stunning development. Last year was just so different because the buildup, and Sal, it wasn't just on opening night. You know, I remember hitting pause on the TV and running to go get the food for the family. I said, nobody touches this TV until I walk in the door, and nobody did. And I went to pick up the food, and it was John McEnroe sitting down with Aaron Rodgers, and I'm watching this when I get back, and we're eating, and I'm like, man, and McEnroe's asking him about what would it feel like to win a Super Bowl for the Jets, and Rodgers is embracing it. He's like, yeah, I expect to win. I want to bring, and I'm eating it up. We're eating it up, and then we know what happens four plays. But it wasn't four plays in, but it wasn't just that. It was the whole pursuit. When I say really, this was the longest year football-wise of my life, because it started the rumblings in February, then flying out to California with the Jets contingent, yeah. Then jumping through hoops to make it happen with the Packers, and then, boom, there's just no reward. There's, of course, intrigue. Is he still physically the same? I believe he will be close to it. I'm not really worried about that. And if he is, then that the other questions that need to be answered, like on a lesser level, like is Alan Lazard a scrub all of a sudden, or is he going to be better with Rodgers? The O-line, what does that look like? We all know that this Jets team could do something special, but it's the Jets.
You know,
I
love the way that you say it about waiting. Like, it feels like it's basically been 2 years. Because last year, you know, we had the offseason and waited for it, and then we didn't get it right out of the gate. And we had to wait a whole nother football season, whole nother offseason, all the talk, and here we are again.
Yeah.
It's basically been 2 years waiting to see Rodgers actually play a game for the Jets.
Well, and think about the only touchdown that he threw in the Giants preseason game. Yeah. Think about how beautiful the throw was. Back shoulder, pylon, Garrett Wilson. I'm there. I'm at the game. I'm like, it's here we go. Listen, I think that there's two ways to attack this. You know which way I'm going to attack it. There's two ways to look at this Jets season. You know, you try to sneak in the back door. Oh, God, nothing good's ever going to happen to us. Oh, why would this be? Forget about that nonsense. Or, I mean, without being, you know, overly egotistical, but at least having a sense like, hey, they've got the horses. Now, you got to make sure that Rodgers stays upright, and that's on the O-line, and that the head coach doesn't mess it up. But I think that this should be... The Jet fans should be projecting confidence. I mean, now I know it didn't happen, but Dolphins almost lost to the Jaguars. The Bills could. I know the Bills could have lost yesterday. Josh Allen's amazing.
New England won. Jets find themselves 0-1 being a baseball.
Yeah, I know. Right, just like that. The Pats going to be the worst. 2-15. Here come the Pats. They win and they beat a good Bengals team. But the Jets will be the only winless team of the AFC East. Watch. But I'm excited. I'm thankful that it's finally here, and I'm hopeful that this is going to be an awesome season.
And more than that, I cannot wait for the game tonight and to finally see this storyline, as you said, play out. But you're going to have a real quarterback. Like, what happened with Rodgers would be bad for any franchise. The expectation, the anticipation, all the excitement, and then to have him go down four plays in would be bad for any franchise, but specifically a franchise that hasn't been in the playoffs in 14 years and one that hasn't been able to find a real quarterback in God knows how long. So, I mean, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I guess you want to go back to that, but even that, I mean.
Yeah. You just knew it was borrowed time. He was a transient player at that point, already a couple of the teams. And the irony of that is, you know, with Ryan, that was the best Jets season, I think, ever. I think he set the Jets touchdown record. I think he broke Vinny's record. And that was Todd Bowles' first year. They lost up in Buffalo final week, didn't make the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, the road is not paved with stellar names. And here's Rodgers, who wanted to be here. Now you got to win some games, dude. We've talked about you for 2 years. Now you got to deliver. It's go time.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Giants have been the theme of the day so far. Chris is calling from Tinton Falls. What's up, Chris?
Hey, boys, what's cooking? BT, One, first, good luck for your Jets tonight. I've never been a Rodgers fan, but I think your team's actually loaded, and I think they're going to do some good things this year.
I hope so, Chris. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, man.
You got it, my friend. You hit on something before, and I'm glad you mentioned it, BT. Brian Burns. Now, I'm one of the few people that has been very critical of this trade, and I'll tell you why. They made this guy the second highest paid edge rusher in the league. He averages 9 sacks a year. This team is not one player away. This is a fundamental problem from the top down. The Burns move was a contradiction, and I'll tell you what I mean. Now, admittedly, I wanted them to keep Saquon. I know I'm loyalist.
Yeah, but that's wrong. See, it's not a contradiction. They just took that money and said...
Let me finish.
I will, but they took the money and said we'd rather spend it on a premier defensive player as opposed to a running back.
Which I understand, by the way, but keep
going,
Chris.
Here's the contradiction.
Go ahead.
Here's the contradiction, guys. You could have done that. Burns averages 9 sacks. That's $29 million a year. Saquon averages 10 touchdowns for 12. You could have done, what the Eagles done, downsized, not as good an edge rusher, but a good one with Bryce Huff and Saquon for $29 million, same as Burns, plus you add another 5 in a salary cap sport for Devin Singletary. Now you're at $33 million for those two. If you didn't want that, you should have went cheap all around knowing you needed more assets, done a Singletary and a Huff, kept your premium 39th overall pick, and had another $11 million to shore up the secondary. Absolute contradiction. They are dysfunctional, top to bottom. And by the way, we all love Dable after year one. What did he really do? He built a surprise year on Barkley's legs and Wink Martindale's creative defense. Last year when it fell apart, Dable was the first to start pointing fingers. Everybody was wrong. They couldn't wait to move on from Wink, Barkley. I don't blame them about moving on for Jones.
Chris, hold on a second. You got to let it go.
But these guys aren't.
Chris, hold on a second. Don't you think that he deserves... I'm not against what you're saying. I hear you. But the fact that it could have been a lot worse last year and Dable didn't allow it to get there, doesn't that give you a little bit of hope that he is the guy?
Well, I'll tell you why I'm not sure I agree with that, BT. Maybe. But I heard your old partner, Tiki, who seems to be a bit of an insider, saying they couldn't move on from Barkley last year. I mean, they should have traded him because they needed somebody to hold the room together because it was spiraling on Dable. So I don't know if he held it as much together, except some of the leaders did. Guys like Dex,
very good call, Chris. We appreciate it. I'm not getting into it. Yeah, we're going to give Saquon Barkley credit now for saving the season. Where was he in the beginning of the year? Brian Dable turned the season around with a third-string quarterback, no less. And now maybe some would say to the detriment of the Giants' future because it prevented them from having a top-three pick, which would have given them a real quarterback, which would totally change the conversation and expectation this year, which is something that I was rooting for, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But Brian Dable did, I thought, a good job with how many head coaches in the league with their third-string quarterback are going to be able to, after the season looked like it was going to be, the Giants were looking like they were going to be a two-win team the majority of last year, was able to turn it around a little bit and finish strong.
Well, I'll tell you, one who couldn't, the other coach here, Sava.
Right.
Do that.
Yeah, and with a
he didn't do that.
With a more talented team.
Yes, everywhere.
Right, if Brian Dable were coaching the Jets last year, I firmly believe they would have been a playoff team.
I don't know about
that. I mean, it's all hypothetical, so it doesn't really mean anything.
It's an interesting guy. I would say more if Jones was the quarterback of the Jets last year, they probably would have found the way in.
I believe the reason for the Giants' success has been about Brian Dable more so than anything else. I think the caller brings up an interesting point about how he would have spent the money
I was well laid out.
Right, fair enough. However, you've got to let it go with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Like, it's you can't value running backs the way that I love Saquon just as much as everybody else, and I understand why he was so valuable to this franchise. But when he was here, and he was here a long time, the offense stunk every single year. Now, you're going to say the same thing you said about Daniel Jones. Well, it's not him, it's the offensive line. Okay, but they could stink offensively without him. Why justify paying a running back what he was going to get when you could then turn that money into an elite defender? Wait till Brian Burns plays this season.
Yeah.
Even yesterday in a game where, excuse me, BT, even in a game yesterday where he didn't get to the quarterback necessarily, you saw the beast that Brian Burns is. This is not a soft player by any stretch. He's going to have his impact felt more often than not.
I agree. He had one lick in particular, like, oh yeah, you could just hear it coming through the TV.
Exactly,
good pop right there. There's no doubt. I think that... The Saquon stuff, I get the residue of emotion. It stings. And it's only made worse when you see him score three touchdowns as an Eagle Friday night. I get it. You got to move on. It was the organizationally, I'm with the Giants on this. If they were better and they were closer to winning, or if Dallas wasn't as potent or Philly wasn't as talented, maybe you make the case, all right, let's run it back one more year, try to squeeze out a division, a little magic. But the Giants are not ready to win big. The other teams in the NFC, there's about five or six that are. I'm totally with the Giants moving on.
Yeah, and real quick, because we're going to do that later, but it's coming up now. Might as well get to it. The pushback on social media, or even beyond social media Friday night, where people were LOL Giants, the Giants need their heads examined because Barkley goes out there. Oh, hey, please. Hey, morons, you absolute morons, the Giants didn't let Barkley go because they didn't think he was good. They let him go because they didn't value paying a running back, and they're right, that much money with where they're at. End of story. Everybody made it like, oh, the Giants let Saquon Barkley go because they thought he was washed.
Yeah, I know.
That's never the conversation. They wanted him back. They just didn't want him back at the price that he ended up getting from the Eagles.
You think he would have scored three touchdowns yesterday? The answer is no.
I mean, come on. What are we doing here? It's easy to rip the Giants for a lot of things. Ripping them for letting Saquon Barkley go is not one of them. And just because he scores three touchdowns with the Eagles, give me a break. And by the way, wait till the Eagles fall apart with that doofus Sirianni anyway. Nice start for Barkley, and he'll end up doofus. Getting hurt. I mean, it's easy to say now, three touchdowns. Oh, look at the Eagles offense. Look at Saquon Barkley. He's going to get hurt. It's going to be the same old story. And it was the right move anyway. It's not about a knock on Barkley. The Giants made the right decision to let him go.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. The number to call will continue with your Giants calls. We look forward to the Jets getting underway tonight. There was some baseball being played over the weekend. BT, Yanks and Wrigley. We talked about it on Friday, how this is an important weekend for them. And for all the reasons that we said, the Yankees went out there and looked pretty good, whether it was Luis Gil on Friday, obviously on Saturday, Clark Schmidt, and then you had Cortez piggybacking him, and Gerrit Cole on Sunday.
That was a big weekend. You would have liked to have seen Gleyber Torres make that play, and Gerrit Cole could have, win, gem, would have been nice. No, it was a very good weekend for the Yankees. Here's the problem. I really was bothered by Cortez's reaction. I appreciate his honesty, so I don't want to... But I want to double speak here.
Being moved to the bullpen.
Yes, it bothers me more than I understand his frustration. He's human. I get it. Dude, you're calling yourself the workhorse of the staff. Your ERA's over 4. Dial it down, bro. And I think even worse than that, or maybe more detrimental, even though I do think he's well-liked on the team, so maybe it doesn't matter as much. I'm just saying to me, I don't receive it. I never receive it well when something is going well and somebody within that team or that group is not happy because their role has changed despite whatever group it is we're talking about having success. Who are you to say that you don't like your role and I'm not happy? Tough.
See,
It's too bad.
I like that he said it.
I don't.
Hey, why? The guy wants to be a pitcher.
Yeah, seems divisive.
He's right. You know what he said? Oh, they're the ones who moved me around. They made me start opening day. And you know what he was saying? Basically, they placate Marcus Stroman, who's been here for 5 minutes. If the guy's got a fingernail that's off, he doesn't want to pitch or whatever it may be. And I'm not trying to knock Stroman, but like, remember, Stroman didn't want to take the ball there.
Cortez didn't pitch particularly well, but that's not the point.
He's been winning games for the Yanks this year.
He's been okay.
His ERA is just under 4, FYI.
I'm saying it just went under four based on what he did the other day in Chicago.
And by the way, you could also look at it two ways. I know this is more about the comments here, but you could say, well, Clark Schmidt was great. Yeah, but Cortez also shut down the Cubs.
Oh, no question.
Every Yankee pitcher shut down the Cubs, so maybe that's more about the Cubs offense than it is the Yankee pitching.
Same Cubs team that had won 7 or 8 games in a row before they hit a little skid. I'm not saying they're great, but they're not terrible.
Understood, but the Yankees didn't hit either. I mean, for some reason, there were no runs scored this weekend. Anyway, I like Cortez's comments because he's being open and honest about it, saying, you know what, they're moving me around. They want to move me to the pen. No, I don't like it. I believe I'm a starter. I've been a guy who goes out there, takes the ball. Anytime they ask, they want to move me, I do this. I compete. I had no problem with this.
All right. We see it differently. I mean, not enough where I'm going to go nuts about this, but it's just not the route that I would take when there's 20 games to go and you know, it's a half game between
seems
you and the Orioles
here.
Yeah, absolutely seems selfish, very self-absorbed.
But he did what the team asked.
What was he not going to do? Some protest and say, I'm not going to go out and pitch? Well, I mean, of course he's got to pitch.
Stroman did.
Well, not a whole...
Stroman flat out said, I don't want to pitch on opening day. It messes up my routine.
Yeah, but that's different than them saying, all right, hey, get Cortez up with a pen, and Cortez saying, I ain't pitching.
Well,
I mean, that's going
on. But he could say, I don't want to get moved to the bullpen. I'd rather not.
I guess he could have, I guess, and faced, you know, real legal punishment for the Yankees.
Or went kicking and screaming. He went...
Or how about this? How about you put up the zeros, which you did do, and he just take the high road and say, hey, listen, I want to win a championship. I've been here for a couple of years. I know it's a numbers thing that's interesting. And, you know, today I got squeezed out a bit. Hopefully it resolves itself soon, but I'm here to win. Why couldn't you say that?
Boone said he is back in the rotation now, right?
Yeah, by the way, I thought Boone was now. Again, I don't want to go on a tangent here.
Can we have a Boone sound if we can after talking about Cortez? I did see him speak. I can encapsulate
what he said if we don't have it. Basically, you let me know if we have it.
Cortez might have been in print only because we couldn't find that sound, but Boone definitely spoke on it.
He did.
Yesterday.
And I read the Cortez stuff. I actually read the Boone stuff as well, though I do know we have the audio. Basically, Boone said, hey, I get it, man. Like, he didn't have any issue with it. And Boone, listen, it doesn't surprise you that Aaron Boone says that, because Aaron Boone doesn't call out Gleyber Torres when he jogs. So he's going to get on Cortez, who's a pretty good competitor, and I like Nestor Cortez. I don't like the look. It seems a little selfish. If it's April or May or you're in a contract push, I understand there's human reasons to feel that way. Don't admit that when you're chasing a pennant.
Understood. I thought he handled a very delicate thing with a perfect balance of honesty and also saying, you know what, I do whatever the team wants from me. I'm going to go out and continue to do that. But no, I'm not happy about it. I feel like I deserve to be in the starting rotation, which he's going to feel that way regardless of what he says. But the fact that he was honest with us, you know what, I like it. And it's not like all the other guys in that role. Like Carlos Rodon has been much better. Marcus Stroman has been much better. But yet those guys, oh, no, nobody's going to ask them to move. But yet, hey, how come Rodon couldn't start opening day? Big bag Carlos. See, if I'm Cortez, I say, you pay big bag Carlos Rodon, it's $160 million. Where is he on opening day? Why couldn't he start? Oh, he's too fragile to deal with opening day. Marcus Stroman, you paid him the contract, whatever he is. Stroman's been an all-star in this league. He's been a valuable starting pitcher for years. You ask him to pitch opening day, he doesn't want to go off his routine. But yet they turn to Nestor Cortez. And now when somebody needs to be moved to the pen, they go to Nestor Cortez again. So I understand him being ticked off of that. I would be too.
Yeah.
Let's get back to the Giants. Calls BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Actually, Chris in Bayshore wants to talk about Nasty Nestor. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hi, guys. Listen, Sal, I love you and everything, but, you know, BT played the game. I played the game a little bit. I got to be with BT on this. What he said.
Well, hold on, Chris, before you get to that, you're allowed to disagree with my opinion all you want. Don't say you played the game and BT played the game and that's why you're favoring him. You want to agree with what he said? Fine. You played the game at what level?
I played 1 year of independent baseball.
Okay, that means nothing to me. Sorry, all due respect. And I know it's very difficult.
That's fine.
It has nothing to do with the conversation. I'd say the same thing to BT.
It absolutely does, because when you play the game, you understand what the effects are on a team of a guy's comment.
Right. I played the game too in Little League.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's why you don't have a frame of reference.
Yeah. No, I do have a frame of reference.
Oh, boy.
Chris, you didn't make it. You didn't make it. What I wanted to do, I'm in the big leagues, and what I wanted to do, you didn't make it. So I don't want to hear about it. You played the game.
And again, it has nothing to do with Cortez's comments. But what I'm saying is that if you play the game, you understand that a guy popping off like that can have a negative effect on the team.
Okay, and Chris, how about, so you played the game, so you know more than I do. You're right. What about the effect that Marcus Stroman had or Carlos Rodon when they were asked to pitch opening day and they said no? How about that effect?
I have no idea.
What do you mean you have no idea? You played the game. You played the game. So you played the game in your independent league. If a manager comes to you and says, Chris, we want you to pitch opening day, and you say no, or your teammate, they go, okay, we want you to pitch opening day, and they say no, what kind of impact does that have on the team? You have no idea? You played the game. You were in the dugouts. What do you mean?
Play for the Ducks?
No.
Oh, Chris, it's all good. You got under his skin there, Chris. I don't know why I'm getting
pulled into this.
What did I do?
Having a rough day.
No, I'm not having a rough day. I said you're allowed to disagree with your opinion, but you playing an independent league or BT playing at Marist does not minimize my opinion. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, but your opinion is different than guys who have played at a different level. That's all I'm saying.
I'll take it a step further, Chris, and thank you for the call. I don't care if you played at the big league level. I don't care. My opinion is my opinion. Hey, you don't want to value it, that's up to you. But I'm certainly not going to value your opinion more than my own because you played in the independent league or because BT played at Marist.
Stop pulling me into Come on.
He was making it like, well, you two know what you're talking about.
I get it. You're allowed to disagree.
Of course.
That's like, first of all, if that's the case, then neither you nor I can speak about anything.
Period. Well, I was going to bring Boomer and Tiki into it, but we don't want to go
there. So we can't talk about Daniel Jones. We didn't play.
Right, exactly.
I played in the street.
Right.
I could throw that Nerf ball pretty, especially when it was wet. I could fling that thing couple of telephone poles.
Like, I'll acknowledge, and maybe I was a little sensitive to it. Fine. Yeah, it's all good, Chris. Yeah. We do appreciate it.
I got it. I can see why that bothered you. I don't know if you had to belabor it for 3 minutes, but I understand the wrath a little bit. Yeah. I mean, listen, think about this, too. Chris's point, I also think that there's a lot of people who played in the majors who would actually disagree with what me and Chris are saying.
Correct.
He makes it seem like it's a uniform view that if you played, that 100% of the people weighing in on this opinion agree with me and Chris. And I don't think that's... I could see a lot of people disagreeing with what I said.
And that's the point. That was my point. By the way, Nestor Cortez is in the big leagues, and he did it. And there are players that are in the big leagues that do dumb things and say dumb things all the time.
For sure.
I happen to like what Cortez did because I don't think it undermined his team, but also got the point across that he was not happy with the situation.
Independent ball is a tough, it's a tough run, man. You're doing it for the love of the game at that point.
Now,
they're all over the country.
So does that mean more than playing college or no?
Yeah. It's a minor league, so... After college.
But you could have technically played.
I signed with an independent team.
That's what I'm saying. And if you were healthier or really wanted to get
I wasn't good enough.
But I'm saying you could have played. If you were healthier and you really wanted to dedicate yourself to playing independent
I probably could have played a year or two.
That's what I'm saying.
No, there's no doubt.
A lot of people probably could do that, but some say you
don't know about a lot of people. Let's not stretch the boundary. Could you have? Well, so. Could have?
I mean, if things broke
that's
differently. If things broke differently, who knows?
I don't know about a lot of people.
But I
stand up for myself a little bit here,
correct,
buddy.
Correct, but I do think that...
if you want to keep going and you're decent, there's always a route to try to keep going an extent.
My point is that most people probably don't play independent league out of college because they're like...
I can't make it. Why am I going to make $600 a month?
Right.
No, dude, I'm messing with you. I get it. I totally get it. So the difference between independent ball and minor league, it's just not affiliated. So the team that, it doesn't matter, but the team that I signed with a million years, I was only there for a week or two, the Nashua Hawks up in New Hampshire, right? And I packed my car up. I was basically back in 5 days. Right? I was hurt. Long story, but nobody cares. But so if I would have played for that team, right? And say if I would have played well, then and the Pirates were like, hey, I like this kid. I like this young player. They would then buy me or anybody, and then I would become under the umbrella affiliation of the Pirates. Independent baseball is independent of Major League's purview.
Well, that's what I was curious.
It's like the Ducks. The Ducks don't have an affiliation.
I know what it is. I'm just curious, where you're talking about coming up the ranks. Is it more valuable to play 4 years at a legitimate college?
I don't know anybody that hasn't played college that has played independent. Maybe you play a year of college and you fizzle out academic. I don't know anybody. I'm not saying nobody has. You don't go from high school to independent.
Right.
No.
There's no way. But that's what I'm saying. So, independent is, just
with all the respect, and I love the grind, and I respect, it's C-minus baseball. It's C-level baseball.
Like 30 and over league. BT and Sal.
Very close. It's not that far off.
I'm sorry, Chris. I didn't mean to be sensitive there. Well, you come on. You're trying to undermine our opinion. This is what we do here.
Listen, I'm not saying you're wrong. A little lengthy there, but I'm not saying you're wrong.
It has been said before, you're a Jet fan. What does your opinion matter on the Giants?
No, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
But I don't react like that.
You sure about that?
Sometimes I do.
It was one specific case. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back. Reset Heat with the crowd topic of the day when we come back and continue with your calls. 888-808-1019 on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.